All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Get everybody settled down here. If this is the last time that Greg is going to run across the building. All right. Appreciate you being with us tonight. Appreciate our visitors being here. We always are very thankful for you coming to be with us. Even if you're just visiting for the first time or one time only, it's a blessing for us to have you with us. So appreciate you being here tonight. Be talking this evening a little bit about evangelism and about our sharing Christ with others. And so we'll be looking at a number of different passages to remind us how important that is. And then also trying to get a little bit of feedback from each of you in the different ways that you can share of how you came to Christ. You know, when we think about sharing Christ with others, it can be very, very helpful in our minds and in our hearts to think about what took place in our lives that led us to take that step. And it's interesting. I know in years back in other classes that I've taught and that have had a hand in, there's some very interesting stories that have taken place in people's lives. And sometimes can bring about tears when you hear some of the things that people have come out of. And I know even in my own life as well. But nonetheless, it's very, very meaningful to think about what takes place in our lives when we come to Christ. Very special time. And I appreciate the emphasis that our elders this year are giving to our outreach efforts and trying to help us in the teaching that Mark is giving us about how to make our homes a lighthouse, trying to help give us teaching and understanding of trying to take advantage of opportunities when we think about who is our neighbor in an effort to try to lead them and to bring them closer to the Lord and hopefully to bring them to Christ. So a lot of good things that are taking place this year, and so I believe it's an exciting time for the church at Boverde. So we're blessed to be here. I know my wife and I are, and I feel like that many of you are. And so we have a good family here. We have a lot to offer, especially to those that are struggling with sin and wanting to find a way to come out of it. So God will bless us as we try to reach out to them. So I'm going to ask Rob, if you don't mind, to open with a prayer, please. All right, we'll turn to Matthew 28. We'll be looking at that in just a few moments. Matthew 28, we'll look at what oftentimes is referred to as the Great Commission, and we'll have some thoughts there. But I want you to think with me, if you will, for a few moments. What comes to your mind when you think about evangelism? What are some thoughts that come to your mind when you think about evangelism? Yes. Okay. All right. I didn't catch all that you said. Oh, okay. The passage that we'll look at in Matthew 28 will be part of that. Jesus said to go out into all the world and teach, make disciples of all nations. So, okay. That's the one we'll look at in just a moment. So, Linda, you had a... Okay.
And also the joy that someone would get in knowing that there is hope for their life in the future.
Okay. All right. Certainly, you know, the different experiences that we have as we try to help share Christ with others, it's an amazing thing to see what can happen as we come in contact with, and I believe as we all know, it's not by accident, by God's hand. For those that are searching and for us that are wanting to do the best that we can to to reap that harvest. It is not by accident. It is by God's hand. So, okay. Yes, Mark. Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the things I appreciate just about, just even for this hour only, just in sharing some of the things that we'll share. There's a lot of thoughts that as we look back over our own lives and over our families, of things that might be very, very helpful for us as we really try to give the emphasis that we're trying to give in reaching out in a very specific way, not only to our community, but as we're reminded again by the theme that we have, who is my neighbor? That the opportunities that we have with anyone that we interact with, how we can help just move them a little closer to where they need to be in their relationship with God. Much of what Mark was saying in my younger years, very young years, had family members that had good intentions, but they used the Bible to hit me over the head I don't know how many times. And I just rebelled against that, totally. And it wasn't until after spending quite a bit of time deeply involved in sin that I began to realize that, you know, what they're saying is right, and the path that you're on is going to destroy your life. But it took a while to get there. But like what Mark is saying, as we try to share Christ with others, it's so important. If I were to say one thing, I think that will help us the most, whoever we're relating to try to bring that individual closer to the Lord, primarily is to let them know that you care. When we let them know that we care of whatever is happening in their life, at whatever point they are at in their life, that says tremendously so much more to them than us trying to condemn them for where they're at and what they're doing. So there's a lot to be considered along that line. Okay, what else? Anybody else? Yes. And that really, you know, that's the blessing that we have within the church family. And Mark has done such an excellent job in the lessons that he's been teaching. And again, the mindset that the eldership has here through Ken and Rob and Greg, all of that meshes together in such a beautiful way to help us to see that when we care about our community and we care about those that we interact with, that's more than half the job right there. In just letting people know that in whatever way that they may be struggling, if we can be of help, we want to be that. No strings attached. We just want to be there to be a help and encouragement to them. So, anybody else? Yes, Martha.
When Martha was saying that, I was thinking about the last person who went to the festival, they did it. They did the weekly
And that's so true. Again, it really, you know, sometimes I'm afraid that we may get the mindset that, or I've seen it happen this way in years past, that when we're going to try to reach out and to share Christ with others, that's something that we do specifically at a given time in a different effort, such as a door-knocking effort. In different ways, perhaps that might bear some fruit. But for the most part, what we see in Matthew 28, when we look at Jesus' words there, from what I understand, as if you look closely at the idea of going into all the world, what is really implied there is as you go. In other words, well, not just saying, well, you know, this Sunday afternoon we're going to go out and see who we can win for the Lord. But what is really being implied there is that as you go to school, as you go to work, as you go to the store, wherever you go, as you go, do your best by influence, by whatever word that might be spoken, to help people to see Christ in you and how to get closer to God and what a difference God has made in our lives. And a lot of times that testimony can at least stir a thought or plant a seed thought that might be productive at some point in time. So a lot to be considered along that line. So, anybody else? Yes, Diane. You know, and when you think along that line, you know, I'm afraid too many times that we're looking for the fruit to be born immediately. That, you know, I did this, so how come I'm not seeing any results from that? We're really, in many ways, the efforts that we make, as Mark has taught us in the lessons that he has had as of late, just helping us to see that we plant the seed and we water. But God is the one that gives the increase. Now, the negative side would be, and shame on us if we were to think, well, that's just not anything that I can do. I'll let somebody else do that. We can all have a part in doing something along that line, and it's vital that when we understand that, then that takes it out of the responsibility of, let's just say, just the elders, because they're concerned about reaching the lost, or for just Mark. But it multiplies our efforts many times over when we all look at the idea that I know there's something that I can do, and to the best of my ability, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to hold up Christ, and I want to help people understand what a blessing it is to be a child of God. So. Okay, well, let's look at, I'm sorry, Mike. Okay, absolutely. To have some relationship and to have something beyond just a cold contact, so it's certainly a help. Okay, Matthew 28. Let's read there and pick up a few ideas from the passages there. Beginning at verse 16, it says, Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Now, what do you see there in those particular passages that you find interesting? What do you take note of in those passages?
Some of them still
have doubt. Okay, isn't that amazing? That is amazing. That's interesting. Okay, what else? You see that? Yes.
Yeah.
It really is. And, you know, when you think about, again, the idea of not specifically just going for a one-time purpose to try to reach someone with the gospel, but the idea that as we go, and that makes such a difference in each one of our lives, because in whatever aspect that we can give some kind of positive influence, that will give credit to God, or that in some way that will help people to see that perhaps even just the smile on your face and how you handle life or how you deal with traumatic events. I mean, the ones that we work with or that we associate with on a regular basis, we may not always realize it, but they're keeping a very close eye on how we live our lives. And if we have a sense of joy about us or a sense of peace about us, many, many times that alone will say, you know, something different there, something going on there. So, yes, Linda. It really is amazing. And I realize it's not that for some of us it's not easy to do. I mean, and that again is one of the things I appreciate about what our leadership here within the church is trying to do for us this year is just to help us in the different ways that we can to be mindful of those that we're relating to. Just the idea of who is my neighbor, not just the one that lives next door to us, but whoever we interact with. And in whatever way that we can, just being mindful of their eternal soul. Sometimes it doesn't take much for us to be able to get a little insight on what's going on in their life, just to be able to share with them. We may not be able to solve any of the problems in their lives, but one of the things that we can do is let them know what a difference God has made in our life. And sometimes just testimony along that line can cause someone to say, you know, I don't know where else to turn. Sounds like that might be a good step. So, you know, going back to Matthew 28, when you think about Jesus' last words, how important do you think those last words were? Those were the last words that he spoke. And his concern about him leaving this earth and yet all the what he knew still would need to be done, not only in terms of those living in that day and time, but even in the future. Had they not obeyed those words or obeyed that command, would we be here today? You know, anywhere along the line where it stops. And I think just in thinking about this particular lesson, it made me think throughout the week last week that if someone had not cared enough about me, I would not be in Christ today. It happens in different ways. It can happen if you're so blessed that you were raised in a Christian home. What a wonderful blessing that is. But if you're not, if you were not, then really it depends on who we interact with and who is going to care enough to say, you know, I want to do what I can to reach out to that young fellow or that young woman or that individual. So it can certainly make a big difference there. So when you think about that, I want you to think for just a few moments along this line. What was it that began to take place in your life that caused you to be more receptive to hearing the gospel or to making a change in your life to become a Christian? What began to open your eyes or touch your heart in different ways? Yes.
I've got a lot of stuff.
Okay, well, we appreciate it. Can say that about my wife. I guarantee you, I'd be in a totally different place had it not been for the conviction that my wife had. I tried to take her down with me, and she said, "I will not do that." And by her influence, she had a great impact on my life. So I appreciate that, Linda. Okay. Okay. You know, it's amazing. That's why I say in times past when I've done a lesson like this, a lot of times we look at each other and we see who we are today and we really have no idea what has taken place in our lives in the past. And the reason why I feel like that this can be very important for us is because the ones that we relate to, you know, we may look at them and say, you know, that's not anybody that's going to be on my list. But by God's hand, anything that we might be able to say or do that might at least plant that seed or in some way help them to see that life doesn't have to be that way. Life can be very different. And for those that that have a relationship with God, life is very different than for those that are in the world. So, okay, what else? What has taken place in your life in the past, in particular, that caused you to be more receptive to hearing the gospel? Mike?
39 years ago, I had an event. I was visiting my father, and he was persistent. But I recognized some of my father's love he showed for us when he persuaded us.
Right. Well, you know, there's no doubt that as we look for opportunities, I'm a firm believer that God will give us opportunities. When we care enough to say, as Mark has asked us to pray, that the Lord would send forth reapers, as we continue to pray that prayer, the Lord may say, well, okay, Roy, I think you're the one I'm going to use today. So it is so very important. And then, again, when we think about the different teachings that we find within God's Word, I'm amazed at the passages that, that are so revealing to us about how God loves mankind, even when we're steeped in sin, and even when we're stubborn and we're rebellious, or if we're stiff-necked, however you want to call it, that just because we're in that situation at that particular time, that God doesn't give up on us. And I'm amazed at that. I'm amazed that, and we'll look at some passages that reveal that to us. And so let's look in Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. Israel had a long history, and we know a lot of that history. Brother Ken does an excellent job anytime he's teaching from the Old Testament to give us understanding and background, and there's just a whole lot of history there about the Israelites and how they did not hold up to the expectations that certainly that God had for them. Ezekiel chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I'm sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says,' and whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." And he'll go on, and if you'll turn to chapter 33 in Ezekiel. Chapter 33. And again, just a lot of good thoughts that we find in so many of the Old Testament books that can really help us to understand how much God loves mankind. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 10. He says, "Son of man, say to the house of Israel, 'This is what you were saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live?' Say to them, 'As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?'" Isn't that amazing? And when you look at passages like that, what comes to your mind? What concept do you have of God and his love for mankind? You know, sometimes we might think, well, as long as I'm doing all right and keeping trying to live in a way that is right before God, then that's when God is really pleased with me. But even when we stumble and fall, God is still very, very concerned about us. Sometimes we may give, people may have the idea that God is just waiting for you to stumble. And boy, when you do, you're going to pay a price for it. Is that the God that we worship? No, not at all. And so we have much to be able to recognize. As we go through God's Word, so much of what we see in the Old Testament reveals to us such a nature and a side of God that blesses us when we understand how much he loves mankind. When you think about the passage in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, verse 16, we know what that says. Most of us have that down by heart. But in verse 17, you remember what verse 17 says of John chapter 3? For God. Okay. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And that really, you know, just to think about that, it again just reiterates over and over God's concern for mankind. And so we will do well to do our best to try to recognize that wherever people are And regardless of how they may be responding to us, just for us to be able to recognize that where they're at and where they need to be, all of that can be changed by God's hand. And for us to be able to reach out to them and to extend love and concern can be just that first step that could make a big difference in their life. So let's look also at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I don't know, as I go through these passages and I think about, because oftentimes, perhaps you may feel the same way, that you look around the world that we live in today and you think, how did we ever get here? How did we ever get to this point? When you look at what's taking place. But then you go back and you look at what history records for us in the Bible, and you can see that in many ways that man is still going over and over the same things. The devil has been successful in many ways causing the fall of man in so many ways. And these passages just remind us of that. But there's a reason why I want to go through these passages, and then we'll look at another passage as well. Romans 1, beginning at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanders, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Is there anything new under the sun? You know, when we look around today and we think, boy, 2019, my, what a world we live in. What a world that man lived in 2,000 years ago. Or 6,000 years ago. There's so much that needs to be done for us to reach out and help mankind, that to help man to understand that's not the kind of life that God ever intended for man to live. So you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these are encouraging words because of what we'll see here. First 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll begin at verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now that's where the hope is. You know, when you think about perhaps different ones that we relate to in our daily Christian life, that is what we have to see. That's what we have to lift our eyes and see, that by God's hand, lives can be changed. Lives can be turned around. And there may be some of us here tonight that can testify to that, that what a difference God has made in my life. And that's all that we're striving for. As we seek to share Christ with others this year in the different ways that we will, we're just trying to reach out to those that understand that where they are is not where they want to stay. And they may not be able to see a way out of that. But by God's hand, whatever we can do that might give them that sense of that glimmer of hope that says, maybe things can be different. That's what we want to help them to see. So, okay, what kind of obstacles do you feel like are we going to run into as we try to share Christ with others? What kind of obstacles are we going to run into? Yes, maybe. Okay. Okay. Boy, there's a lot that takes place along that line. And as Ken was sharing this morning in his class, that going through James, that a lot of people think, I'm good. I mean, I got it. I believe. So that's really all I need in my life. So there's a lot that are in that boat. Yes. Absolutely. You know, that really, that's a very good point, because it helps us to see, you know, there are things that, I mean, we all have a fear. Not very many of us have the kind of knowledge and understanding that Mark Brawls has, or that Ken has, or Rob or Greg, but they too would probably share with you that they feel inadequate in other areas. But, you know, by God's hand, when we're trying to do God's will, God is the one that will equip us, will he not? You know, when you think about the passage of Scripture that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where he talks about how that God's Word is useful for us, it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And God will bless us that way. He will equip us as we have the desire. He will equip us and enable us to carry out his will. And so we can take great comfort in that, no doubt. So what are the obstacles? Yes, Dan.
Okay. A couple of thoughts. You could say, we'll never be
You know, that's the thing about a lot of times we, it does take time on our part. I mean, we can't just ignore that. I mean, when we look at individuals that we feel like, well, they're just very gifted. I mean, they can just do it like that. That didn't just happen. They took the time to, as the scriptures say, to study to show yourself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. Yes, Rob. You know, there's a couple of passages that reminds me of in Psalm 51 where David says there, created me a pure heart, O God. And he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And that when if God does that, that alone will help us as we try to teach and to reach out to others. So how true that joy is. And I really believe that as a church body collectively, when our emphasis is on this year, we want to do our best to reach out in the name of Christ and to lead others to Christ. We'll receive encouragement from one another. That many times, you know, sometimes you get bogged down and you think, well, you know, I'm trying, but I don't see any results. When we can encourage one another. So, Ken.
I know it seems like a broken record, but I can work Deuteronomy 6 into just about anything. But when you look at what
appreciate that. Yes.
Also, a lot of times, like what you said earlier, you have to remember that it's not going to be an almost thing. Maybe your job is just to keep them down. I was talking to someone many years ago, a young man in college, he was about to college, and he was definitely, you know, confirmed that scientists were right and there wasn't a God and all these things. And so, he eventually cried out the message to me and he says, you're the only person I've ever talked to in my whole life to make me doubt. So a lot of times it isn't a matter of God to convert right to second on the spot. It's a matter of give them enough to make them want to come more so that they will then come with you and study with you and understand. I've had other people say the same thing, that I'm the only person that they come in contact with that actually make them
okay, appreciate that. And, you know, that is so true. It really, again, I think in many ways all that we're saying tonight, if our time period tonight of studying, if we don't do anything else but leave out of your thinking, I do care, and I'm going to try to do something. In many different ways, God will take that and use it. He can use it in many different ways. So one passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 4, we have to quit, but Matthew chapter 4, I heard one individual make a comment about that particular passage which talks about being fishers of men, where Christ says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And this fellow said, you catch them. You be fishers of men. You catch them, and you let God clean them. You catch them and let God clean them. And that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we may think, oh, my goodness, look at where this person is in their life. Don't you worry about that. You know, you just bring them to the Lord, and you let God do the rest. Appreciate all of your thoughts that you've shared tonight. Thank you so much.